My Imaginary University podcast series. It's another live recording, but our first at international conference. This recording was made at the 2024 Humane Annual Conference at the University of Amsterdam and features not one, but two imaginary higher education institutions. Our very creative presenters are Leon van der Zand, who's Secretary General at the University of Amsterdam, and Marianne Bom, Chief Financial Officer at Aalto University in Finland. Leon's imagined university is the home of peace and quiet, a very non-hierarchical institution where there is genuine parity of esteem between teaching and research. The university is city-based with strong civic engagement, an international outlook, and a very laid-back vice-chancellor. No one there cares about rankings, but they do have a nice social environment, just quieter and more peaceful than most, and therapy dogs to support students in all parts of the campus. Marianne presents Transition U, an institution designed for those 50 and above, who've screwed up their first career and have time to learn to have another go, as well as having plenty of disposable income. It's not just a university for failures though, as students at this startup also go on to great careers, and indeed some of them even offer careers advice to students at the University of Peace and Quiet. The university's symbol is a phoenix rising from the ashes, a very apt image for those seeking to move on from their midlife crises. The contrast in the anthems for our two universities could not be more striking, with upbeat hits facing off against something a lot more peaceful. Both imaginary vice-chancellors do a great job of handling questions from the floor, making this a really entertaining episode. I do hope you enjoy it.
Thank you for that introduction, Nadine. My name is Paul Grotrix. I'm president of Humane. I'm also honorary secretary of the Association of Heads of University Administration in the UK and registrar at the University of Nottingham. And in my spare time, I've dabbled with both blogging and but also more recently podcasting. And one of the podcasts that I have developed over the past year or so is called My Imaginary University. And I kind of explain it by comparing it to a long-running UK radio show, which has been going for about 70 years, called Desert Island Discs, which you might not be familiar with, but essentially a celebrity comes on the radio, is interviewed, lists half a dozen pieces of music, which are then played. They talk a bit about their incredible life, and then they get to choose a luxury in a book they would take onto a desert island. It's all very, very silly. So it's a bit like that, but with a university, very little music, no celebrities, and no luxury. But we do have two celebrities, actually. So I'm being mean, right? Because we do. Leon van der Zand from Amsterdam University, our very generous host here today, and Marianne Bom, CFO at Aalto University. Now, what they have done is thought about the idea of a university that they would create. And they were instructed to be, you know, as free and unencumbered by tradition and history and indeed reality as they would like. I've no idea what they're going to come up with. So I will ask them a few prompt questions and we'll see where it goes. It might sink without trace, but I doubt it because I know that they are very creative and clever individuals. So they will have come up with something interesting. Now, I'm going to ask them a few questions. I'm encouraging you to think of questions that if we get the chance that you can ask them as well. So if we get a natural break in proceedings or I just run out of steam, then I will ask the audience if they would like to ask a question about this imaginary university. Right, so a very open question to begin with then. I know nothing about this institution. Can you describe it to me in very broad terms, the university that you've created?
Leon, you want to go first or do I go first? Okay, ladies on thin ice, they always go first. That's the saying in Finnish. I'm kind of waiting for to embarrass myself. I have a university that I'd like to establish, and it's called Transition U, Never Too Late. And It's a university that considers that 50 is the new 25, and it's for midlife people and midlife plus people. It's a university especially geared towards people who want to explore their unlived life because they have made a decision when they were young to specialize in a profession, but then they run out of steam and they run out of meaning, and they want to sort of get a second career or take a different path.
You keep looking at me while you're saying this.
Yes, Paul. And you know, I just a few selling points. So obviously, demographics are on the side of my university. Birth rates are going down, actually quite dramatically. In Finland, there was 6,000 babies born in a couple of years ago, and then 4,000 afterwards. So birth rates are going down, life expectancy is going up. So we have this huge untapped human potential of having people beyond midlife actually changing careers. And it's a great time to change. You have your emptiness, your kids have gone out to college and you don't have all that expense from the teenagers anymore. And you know, you have had your share of failures. You have screwed up badly in your career, maybe a couple of times. So it's a really great time to move on to the next career step.
Right, Leon.
My university, well, I would say from my perspective now, I would say it's the University of Peace and Quiet from the perspective of the University of Amsterdam. But I'm not that creative as Mariana. I would say my ideal university is a university that is funded or based in locally and globally. So has local and global perspective, a university where education and research are evenly valued, a university where education is seen or teaching is seen as a profession, and where there's no hierarchy, so to say, between a research and education. And I would say that it is a university that is fully in interaction with society and with the local community. Those are a few, well, aspects of this university. It's not very creative, are
it? But it does sound very peaceful.
Yeah,
it so is. That's kind of something to be said for it. But let me come back to Mariana first then. So this university for the older generation then, for the third ages or whatever you want to call them, midlife, I think you said,
yes.
But you know, 50 plus means they're gonna live quite a long time, doesn't it? So what's, in terms of the mode of delivery and the courses that are on offer, is it very much, you know, the kind of thing that 18-year-olds are doing as well, or is actually geared very much towards the older student? Is it is everything classics is what I really want to know.
Well, first of all, it's a global university.
Oh, right, okay.
And it has online teaching, but then it has like residential weeks or months in nice locations. There is going to be one in Europe, one in Asia, and one in Americas. And So it's that's how it works.
So is it? So it's online and in person.
Yes.
In blocks.
Yes.
And in, I presume this is exceptionally luxurious accommodation. I'm not settling for anything less, right? This is not your typical student dorm, is it?
You might say so, and in a nice setting, obviously. Yes.
Yeah. So you're charging a lot, aren't you, for these wealthy middle-aged individuals who've made a bad career choice?
This is of course a non-profit entity, so it just needs to cover the cost through the tuition. So we are not greedy in that way. Of course, you know, I need to get my president's salary, but otherwise, yeah. and pay for the faculty. But
yeah. But okay, but it's not for profit. This is very out of character, actually, if I may say so. Mariana.
It is?
Yeah.
Okay, let's get back to that.
let me come back to Leon then in the peace and quiet. So are you a global operation, or are you very much embedded within your civic location?
Right. I would say a global university based in the city,
yeah,
where the university is, and acting globally. Facing global problems or solving global challenges, I would say.
And you were very clear that you had kind of parity of esteem between, you know, research focused and education, yeah, focused, and presumably other staff as well. Mm-hmm. How have you actually managed to achieve that?
Get rid of the Hirsch index, for example.
Oh, right. Okay.
That would be a first step to do so, and reward people for educational achievements, making them full professor for that, for example.
So you sound like a very laid back, easygoing kind of president, vice chancellor. Is that how you are seen then?
I guess so. I hope so. Yeah.
And presumably you don't charge as much in terms of salary.
No, not at all.
As other people.
I leave it to that university over there. Yeah.
And what do your staff think about the students that they, older students that they're teaching? Are they older than the students? Or are they younger than the students?
Any age. And, you know, because this is a startup university, so in the beginning, we will not have our own faculty. We will just, use the best academic stars in their respective fields. And very small staff, a lot of the services will be outsourced.
Right. Okay, so it's all adding up, this cost that you said was going to be very cheap. So for your very inflated salary then, Mariana, what kind of president and vice chancellor are you?
Very creative,
yeah,
open to new ideas, and obviously well understanding the problems and the challenges and the dreams of the people struggling through their midlife crisis. So we are offering like a full house service for that particular segment.
I'm just wondering what that might mean.
Well, in terms of teaching content, obviously, you know, what we want is to combine this is obviously life-wide learning, and we want to combine the vast experience and wisdom gained from the failures in the job market together with the kind of newest skills in technology, such as AI, creativity. We teach a lot of creativity, and then also kind of newest work-life skills for the people, so that they, you know, when they are 50, they can have 30 more years of career going forward, and be finding meaning in their work.
Okay. There are lots of people at that age who think they know it all already, though, and wouldn't want to learn anything else. But I guess you're not recruiting them, are you?
No, I'm not recruiting them. But I would say that at least based on my anecdotal kind of evidence, there is a lot of dissatisfaction around midlifers to you know, they have lost some sort of energy and spark in their work. I'm not looking at you. And they, you know, they need something more. And, you know, when you kind of come to that age, I think that you move from kind of building your career to actually transit your, you know, the culture and the values to the next generation. So we are trying to kind of you know, create this kind of new workforce you know, who have the skills of the kind of digital natives, but they have the experience of the
right
of the older people who have faced more failures than the young ones.
You keep repeating the failure word, but I mean, I'm also imagining you've got a very big careers department in there to cope with all the failures. But let me go back to the University of Peace and Quiet, which I have to say is looking increasingly attractive.
And I was wondering whether Mariana would have an exchange program with
yes.
my university or
yeah.
international collaboration.
Yeah, because I think that also in the midlife crisis, you need peace and quiet.
Okay, slightly different question. I mean, you've touched on the student experience, Mariana. I'm wondering, from your point of view, then, Leon, the student experience in your institution, what marks it out as distinctive?
I would say the on-campus education and the social connection with other students, with the teachers on campus, that would be the student experience, I guess.
Right.
And that is the added value for students compared to online campuses or online education.
Yeah, because you are, in that respect, very different kinds of institutions.
Can I ask a question from Leon?
Yeah, go on.
Are you mainly focusing on teaching young people or educating young people or
Yeah,
okay.
then
we could merge.
Older, yeah.
Yes, yeah. Because we have different kind of target groups.
Yeah.
So there's no conflict there. So
not competing.
No.
Yes.
No, very much not competing. I'm going to regret this. Do you care about rankings?
No.
No, unless there is a new ranking that would measure the kind of the meaning, the rate of meaning for the students, like X years from graduation. Do they find their work meaningful? So I think we could do well in that sort of ranking.
I don't think you're going to do well in that sort of ranking.
No?
Well, they're going to run out of time, aren't they?
So no,
if they're already 50 with you, they do 3 or 4 years, and then they, you know, they try to find some meaning in their life, and then they work for 2 years, and then it's too late, isn't it? Anyway, so I think you're going to what, Leon, do you care about the rankings?
No, not at all. No.
Oh, good. Right. No. Okay. I'm glad I asked. So we talked about student experience, but one of the things that we've learned in a number of universities is that students often express themselves in different ways when they want things to happen inside a university. So do you have an active structure for student representation? Do you enable them to get involved in senior level decision making? Do you involve them in high level governance in the university?
Yeah, I think that's very important to have students involved in decision making and to have them, well, sort of develop themselves or grow as a person, not only in education but also in other activities.
Do you involve your failures in you know, the business of the university?
They are not failures. Failing is just education, you know. And we talk about failing fast. So yes, they are going to be involved,
right.
Because we are a startup university, so we don't know yet what's the winning formula. So we need to have very good kind of feedback system to actually hear how our students are doing. And also we want them to be part of the decision making.
Right. Okay. Is there a danger in that, given their wide experience of their previous careers, that they will look to take over? They'll want to run the university, drawing on their extensive wisdom and knowledge of their previous working environment in which they were, well, if not a failure, very successful?
Well, I don't think so, no.
You won't let them?
Yeah. I don't see that as a big risk. I don't see that okay. as a risk.
Okay. Let me ask a very different question. I mean, this again goes back to the University of Peace and Quiet, which is, I think you suggested, Leon, it's very embedded within its local civic
community.
Yeah. So how does that manifest then in terms of the day-to-day operations of the university? Are you clued into local politicians, national politicians? Do you have visiting world leaders? How does it work in practice?
I think the students will have are active in the local community,
yeah,
as a student, but also as a volunteer. So they play an active role in their local community, but they have a focus on global issues, and that means we try to train students to look at the problems from a broader perspective.
Right, and do you have? I mean, are your older students getting involved in civic work and community engagement?
Absolutely, it's one of the key ingredients of you know, once you've done well in your life, so then you are, you know, they want to be of service and contribute back to the culture and to the community.
Right. Okay. Now that's online as well as in person. Yeah.
In their respective local communities,
yes,
because it is a global sort of student body okay. that we are talking about.
Right. I'm going to regret asking if there are any questions in a moment. But if you've got any questions, then do stick your hand up in a minute. But let me just ask, are there any other distinctive features that I've failed to ask you about that you need to share about your university? Other exciting aspects.
I recently heard about a campus dog on one of the Dutch universities during exam period.
Yeah.
Who helps them calm down. I think that would be a perfect part of my University of Peace and Quiet.
Just the one?
Yeah. No, well, no. Every building has its own dog, I guess.
Right, okay.
Yeah, it sounds like he needs more than one.
More than one dog.
Yes, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Any from you, Mariana?
We have this big thing, you know, the like I said, the brand is never too late. And yeah. it's reflected in the sort of the symbol of the university. It has a mascot of a phoenix bird, which is symbol of rebirth,
uh-huh.
and you know, it rises up from the ashes, and you know, the students love it.
Really?
Yes.
Do they?
Yes.
They really, really
love
it.
They really love it. Yes.
Yeah. I can believe that. I can believe that. Oh, right. Has anyone got any questions that are better than mine. Right, there's one right at the back. Oh, we're going to have to give them your microphone.
Yeah, yes.
I'll do the thing.
I would like to understand what extracurricular provision you put on that's distinctive to your universities. Well, for example, what social facilities go on in a quiet university?
Social facilities,
sports.
You've got to have a bar, haven't you?
Yeah.
All right,
of course.
Just checking.
Yeah. So it's not only collective reading or something like that. They do have a normal social program for our students, yeah, and they have a sport facility as well. So all the things a normal student would do as well.
But just quieter.
Even those of Marianne, yeah.
Marianne, yours?
Yes, I think we would have, bar, obviously, and then a disco. That plays
an old
sort of
70s
disco music, obviously.
Music from the 80s, yeah.
And you're supposed to dress up for this occasion. And then maybe we have some spa, sort of, saltwater spa, because we need to de-stress the people. So, but yeah, but more not as partying kind of social activities as the young people.
Right. So more leisure. Question down here. Oh, hang on, one there first, right? And we'll come to you next.
I was wondering what your career relations office looked like, especially for Transition U, but maybe the peace and quiet people also. Like, how do you convince the labor market that your graduates are a good idea?
I think there will be a huge demand for a combination of cutting edge new work life skills combined with vast experience, and we will be I forgot to mention that actually there is going to be a Netflix series about the university students, and that's going to be one of the branding activities we'll be doing. Yes, and using alumni as ambassadors.
Right, okay. Have you got anything?
No, but the students, Mariana's students work for my university as a career consultant.
That's a good partnership there. Excellent.
So my question is actually mainly targeted to Mariana's terminal university, but it applies to both. So it's very easy to get the students in, but how do they graduate? And if they don't, do you have like a sort of a graceful exit strategy in mind?
Well, I think that of course tuition takes care of the graduation, or then, you know, if you have a lot of money, of course there is the other exit through the funeral home.
you have those presumably on campus, yeah?
Yes, and senior housing.
I don't think you need to answer that one, Liam. Question there.
I'm Christoph from Hanover. Thank you very, very much for your creative thinking, and I greatly enjoyed it. But I must admit, after last weekend, I'm still under the impression of the elections for the European Parliament. The political map in Germany looks very, very different. It's black and blue. It's conservative and right-wing political parties. And the only bastions, as Ursula von der Leyen says, are the big cities with big, big universities. So somehow we are doing something right. So I would like to ask you the question, how do you booster democratic spirit in your universities?
Democratic spirit, excellent. Leon?
I think I would facilitate or encourage the debate. So all the students are in a debating club, and talking about democratic values and what's happening in society. And by that, I think we can stimulate their democratic awareness.
And Mariana, presumably your students are already actively engaged.
Yes, they are actively engaged, and perhaps they could actually come to Leon's University Debate Club to make the generations meet.
Okay, good. As well as giving career advice. Rachel.
Hi, Rachel Sambi-Thomas from the University of Warwick. So my question is for the University of Peace and Quiet. I was just wondering where you are going to recruit your academic staff from. Where are you going to find peaceful and quiet academics? Or are you going to find...
Not in Amsterdam,
anywhere. No. Or are you going to drug them?
I'm going to drug them? Oh, yeah, that would be a good idea. Yeah.
Right. I've got a couple of final questions, which is, I mean, one of the things that has been emerged in the discourse about higher education in the past few years has been this idea of cancel culture, about the idea of things being, you know, ruled out and banned or whatever. Bearing in mind that you are a fictional vice chancellor president, right? And you can ban anything you like, right? What are you going to ban in your university? Apart from success, Mariana. Failures only.
This is a very interesting question. I think there are no bans.
Oh, really?
Yes, because, you know, you don't need to sort of, you know, if they want to visit each other's room during the night in the residential and so on, it's okay. So I don't know what would be banned. Maybe misuse of university funds would be one, but otherwise I would, you know, it would be like a beacon of freedom, free minds and free thinking.
Right. Okay. So I would have had you banning something that you wouldn't want the over 50s to do, but that's fine. That's fine. I know there are plenty of things my children would want to ban me from doing. But Leon, are you banning anything?
No, of course.
Oh, for goodness sake.
I'm sorry.
It's one of my
great. I think that you know our stupid university sports. Should actually collaborate because we have similar values.
I guess so. Yeah.
Incredibly liberal, obviously. And then my final question is your anthem, right? You every university needs a song, every university needs a piece of music or something that enables everyone to rally around. And obviously you've already got your amazing symbol of the phoenix rising from the ashes at your university, Mariana. Have you got a song to go with it?
I thought there are two options for the slightly older, maybe Queen's Don't Stop Me Now.
Uh-huh.
And then for a slightly younger, Katy Perry's Roar.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well, I think most people won't know that one.
You think so?
I'm talking
Paul,
about, you know, older people.
I know,
people.
Yes, older and people. I'm 55, I know,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, all right, okay.
You know, we've been, many of us have been taught by our children,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay, excellent. So a couple of pop smash hits there. Leon?
Pop smash hits in the University of Peace and Quiet, I don't know.
Are you going for something
it's
a bit more low-key?
It's a university with a long tradition. I don't know. Perhaps it would be Chopin to a, well.
Nice. A bit
boring, but it is a boring university.
Well, how about some Indian flute music?
Yeah. Of course.
Yes.
Good idea.
Yeah.
So plenty of musical options at both venues. We should probably expose the differences between the two institutions. Well, look, we need to stop there. So Leon, Mariana, thank you for your very creative developments of the University of Peace and Quiet and Transition U for older people. Both charming and lovely and very clever inventions. But thank you both for your creativity, and thank you everyone for listening. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, I do hope you enjoyed that episode of My Imaginary University. There'll be more along before you know it. In the meantime, you might want to listen to the sister podcast, University Registrars Talking About Stuff, in which I chat to university leaders and registrars and others like that, all about their experiences of higher education. Just Google it. Also, you may want to visit my website, wonderfulhighered.com, where you can find lots of entertaining stuff all about the strange, wonderful and frightening world of higher education. Anyway, until the next time, thank you for listening.